Greetings again. This is Brother Steve again with the Fountain of Life Daily Inspiration. This will be the final study from the book of Hebrews for this week. But it's been as much of a blessing to you all as it has been to me just studying through this book that is so packed full of very precious truths and promises. I'm going to start with chapter 11. We had gotten about halfway through chapter 11, and I'm going to finish that. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Here we have the account of Moses when he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But it says he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, we all have to admit that that sin has pleasures to offer for a season, but it is vanishing, it is vain. And he says that esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto recompense of the reward. If we can see ahead and see what's ahead of us, the reward that is coming, that is what Moses saw and that kept him. And I think we'll see in these last couple verses or these last couple chapters here how it brings out the fact, the importance of seeing ahead and to realize the reward that is coming from both directions, whether for good or for evil. I'm going to drop down to verse 35. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yeah, moreover bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better things for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Here we have a picture of the persecuted saints throughout the ages, and it's a little like a diamond or something buried in the stones in the road, and everybody runs over it and considers it of no value. But in those saints, there is something very precious that God is very well pleased with. And but it says the world is not worthy, of whom the world was not worthy. They consider us as rubbish, as worthless. But God has looked down and he sees value in us who will listen to him and obey him. And especially so in our day, we see it more and more pressure on believers to just kind of let go of their values, of the standard, of the high calling in Christ Jesus, of holiness and all those things. There's a lot of pressure just to let go of it. But what the world, that which is highly esteemed among men, is an abomination to God. I think it's good for us to remember that. And then in chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. Here we see a picture of Jesus, who it says, for the joy that was set before him, he saw beyond the cross, and that was how he was able to endure the pain of the cross. because he saw beyond. He saw the joy that was set before him. He saw the joy that was coming afterwards. In the same way, we can also, when we see that joy, the reward, have respect to the recompense of the reward, as it says of Moses. For consider him, verse 3, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Here it says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The question comes to my mind, how much do we really hate sin? Many times, you know, we want the reward, we want God's righteousness, and yet the question is, do we really want it? Are we willing to pay whatever price it costs to get it? And do we really hate sin? That we would be, we hate it, and we want nothing to do with it, even to the point of blood, even as Jesus Christ, who was nailed to the cross. Then going on down, it talks about fathers and how, well, let me just go on there a little bit there. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? So when we are faced with difficulties and trials, we can know that the Heavenly Father loves us and He has our best in mind. When He chastens us in love because He wants to purify us. He wants to cleanse us. In verse 11 it says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Same way as with a little child that needs a spanking or something. It's difficult, it's hard. It's hard for the parent and for the child. But afterwards, it yielded the peaceable fruits of righteousness, and it's a blessing to both. So the same way is true with God. As we are chastened by Him, He chastens us in love because He wants His best for us. May we endure it with patience, looking to the other side, seeing the purifying work that God is wanting to do and availing ourselves to that work. I think I'll continue to chapter 13. Just a few thoughts here. I'm not going to read through it all. It's just chapter 13 is kind of a cap over the whole thing. Just exhorting holiness. Says verse 1, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in bondage." Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Contentment is a much needed thing here in America today. We have so many things, and the more we have, the more discontent we are. So the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain, and we keep that in our minds. Verse 7, "Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Is there a godly man in your life that you look up to, or that is maybe an overseer over you? Remember him. "Remember them which have the rule over you, have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow." Then it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 9, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. There it gives the little picture of the Old Testament, how the bodies of the beasts that were sacrificed were taken outside of the camp and were burned. And then also how Jesus, as we read the story of the crucifixion, he was taken outside of the camp, outside of the city, to Calvary, and there is where he suffered and died. It says, let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, and giving many believers even today face the same kind of rejection that Jesus faced by their own people maybe, or their own nation, their own whatever it might be. But let's go outside the camp where Jesus also suffered and bear his reproach with him, looking to the reward ahead of us. But then it says also, verse 15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips. Here's the sacrifice that God is pleased with. Also says to communicate and to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That is the sacrifice that God is looking for. You know, the whole book of Hebrews, if we can just look over it a little bit, is basically talking to the Hebrews, the people, the Jews, the people that had the sacrifices. They had all those things, and the writer, which I believe was Paul. There's some question about that, but nevertheless, he was exhorting the people to get into the new covenant and trying to bring out the difference in the new covenant versus the old covenant, and how Jesus Christ is a new and living way. He made a sacrifice once and for all of our sins, and that we can now come boldly into the Holy of Holies. And also the idea of how in the beginning how Jesus Christ, remember how we saw that it was important for him to come in the flesh and to be a man in order to be a sacrifice for us. And just the whole book is a lot of very good exhortations, good words for us today even. It's so easy to get caught up in religious sacrifices, religious ordeals or whatever, but let us have that relationship with Christ and be filled with him and give the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that we might have the testimony that it gives there in Hebrews chapter 11, where it says that Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God, and also how it says in somewhere there, it says that verse 16, but now they desired a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So may that be our testimony as we walk through this Christian life, as we walk with Jesus. God bless you. Hope you have been encouraged, and continue to seek.